V-24. From the files of the Victoria Police, for the first time, come these true stories of unceasing war against crime, of day and night vigilance that protects our life and our property, and of the nerve center of the Police Information Bureau, D-24.
Hello, D-24. We've just received a report that a farmer has discovered an abandoned taxi. There are two men nearby, shot dead.
And now another authentic case from the files of the Victoria Police. Only names, place names, and dates have been altered. This is the true story of the sudden and violent deaths of two men, and of the piecing together of a chain of evidence that led to the apprehension and conviction of the man responsible. If a taxi driver were to write a book, he could surely tell some remarkable tales, some very human, some very funny, some very tragic. For he comes into contact with people from every walk of life. But on the night of March the 8th, just a few years ago, the drivers on duty at the taxi service weren't thinking of such things. Business was quiet. They passed the time playing a game of cards.
Three cards, please.
I'll have two.
And again.
And two for the dealer. All right, Bill, your first speak.
All right, I'll make it...
Oh, wouldn't it? A man sits here all night waiting for a decent hand, and just when he gets it, he's got to go out on a job.
It might be the wrong number.
Oh, no such luck.
Oh, well, we can play up the hand anyway.
Better not. Our very efficient Miss Jenkins looks a bit worried. And I bet she's promised there'll be a car at the other end of Melbourne in 2.5 minutes.
Yes,
I'll see you later, bloke.
Okay, well. See you later.
Where to this time, Phyllis?
Urgent call to the corner of Coventry and Cecil Street, South Melbourne.
Funny, they're always urgent, isn't it?
Well, this one really is. Hospital job.
Oh, that's different. What's the name?
Davis.
Okay, corner of Coventry and Cecil Street, South Melbourne.
Yes, he's waiting by the phone box.
Righto, Phyllis.
And when you get back, I'll have a nice hot cup of tea waiting for you.
At 8:10 the next morning, Ralph McCormick, age 27, taxi driver, married man with three children, was found dead. His body was lying a few yards from his taxi on a lonely country road, 12 miles outside of Melbourne. Five bullets had found their mark, one in the center of his back. In the rear seat of the cab was another man, sitting upright, as he had been sitting when someone had held a gun close to him and fired. It was shortly after 8 a.m. that the first report of this dreadful thing was received by D-24. It was at 10 o'clock that same night that the killer was apprehended by the police. But to the detectives who rushed to the scene of the tragedy, there seemed little hope of such quick success.
Well, let's try to reconstruct this crime. First of all, where were the shots fired from?
Well, I feel pretty sure the killer was in the car with the others.
Why do you say that?
Well, both men were obviously shot at very close range.
Right. Though he could have put his arm through the window and then fired.
Maybe. Somehow I don't think so. It's just a hunch, but I think our man was a passenger.
Any news from the taxi company as to how many passengers there were?
Well, they can't help very much. A man named Davis rang. That's about all I know.
Not a regular customer.
The girl didn't recognize the voice or the name.
All right. Let's assume your theory's right. The man was a passenger. Front seat or back?
Front, definitely. The man in the back seat was shot from the front. The unfortunate taxi driver from the left side.
And in the back. Poor devil. He was to try to make a run for it.
There's one thing that strikes me as a bit odd.
Yeah?
Well, two fellas hire a taxi. They go for a long drive into the country.
Yeah, the hospital story was obviously a hoax.
Yes. Well, now two of them drive a good way together. But one sits in the back seat and the other in the front.
Don't know that that helps as much.
Well, perhaps not. But couldn't there have been someone else in the back seat while the shooting was going on?
Yes. So there could.
So there may be more than just the man who fires the shots who can give us some information.
No, but that's still not enough. Nobody's reported having heard any shots around here. And in the taxi are the fingerprints of every passenger who's been in it during the day.
Yeah, we'll check them, of course, but somehow I don't think they're going to do us much good.
And here, you might well think, was what novelists call the perfect crime. A taxi cab stranded miles from anywhere. Not a single clue to be seen. And yet, somewhere in Melbourne was a gunman. And possibly there was someone else, too, who knew the truth about this horror that was to shock every decent citizen. How did he, or they, get away from the scene of the crime? On foot? In another car? By asking for a lift? And which way did he or they go? All the answers were to be known before the post office clock struck midnight. But before then, the team of detectives had to do much thorough, painstaking, and tiring investigation. Gradually, they made their way along the road, questioning everybody.
That's right, Manny, thank you. Yes, sir?
We're from the police.
Oh.
No need to look worried. Just a routine check. What time did you close your shop last night?
Just after the pictures came out.
When was that?
About 10 past 11.
Well, then you closed about a quarter past it.
Well, it'd be about 20 past.
Did you see or hear anything unusual during the night?
Unusual?
Well, I suppose you know most of your customers. Any strangers last night?
No. None that I can remember particularly.
All right. Thanks very much. Anything unusual happen last night?
Unusual? No.
See any strangers?
No.
Hear anything out of the ordinary last night?
No, not a thing.
You see anything?
No, nothing unusual at all.
Hear anything?
No.
You couldn't be mistaken.
No.
Precious time was going by and everywhere the answer was no. Until...
Your dairy would be open almost right through the night, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there'd be a milkman.
See or hear anything unusual last night?
Oh, there's a good deal of clatter in the dairy, you know.
Oh, well, we'll try somewhere else, thank you.
Oh, I just remembered.
Huh?
I just remembered there was one cove who came in here last night.
Yeah?
Oh, but there's nothing very unusual about that, though. There's always some joker hopping in or out, wanting to know the time or something stupid like that.
What did this one want?
Just trying to think. Oh, I know. He asked the way to the station.
Did he now? What did he look like?
Oh, he was, Oh, but this is silly. He looked a pretty harmless sort of a cove to me.
You can't always go by looks. Tell me some more.
But I don't want to put some decent bloke in.
Don't worry about that. We're looking for someone who killed two people. If the man you saw did it, you wouldn't want him to go free, would you?
No, I wouldn't. And
if he didn't do it, we'll soon know, and nothing more will come of it. Now tell me about this fellow.
Oh, all right, but I still think it's stupid.
Somewhere in Melbourne there was a gunman. But was the stranger who called in at the dairy the man the police were looking for? There was just a faint chance. And the detectives kept his description in mind when they returned to headquarters for a mid-morning conference.
Anything come in from the squad that's working towards the bush?
Nothing worthwhile. One farmer thought he heard someone prowling around his fowl pens, but it was only a false alarm.
Not much to go on, is there? Well, there's something tells me that that dairyman spoke to our man.
Well, if you're right, he could be in Sydney or Adelaide by now.
I don't think so. The airlines report no last-minute bookings.
Well, there's only one thing for it. Give the case as much publicity as possible. Radio, press, anything.
Here is the news read by Morris Keller. Two men were found shot dead in an abandoned taxi 12 miles outside Melbourne early this morning. It's thought that...
Detective Sergeant McElroy's here.
D-24 here, Sergeant. There's a woman on the phone. Says she may know something of that taxi killing.
Good. Put her on right away.
Something doing, Cliff?
Not sure, but it could be. A woman says...
Hello?
Oh, yes, hello.
My name's White. Mrs. White.
Yes, Mrs. White.
I've just heard about that dreadful murder in the taxi. And my friend and I thought we'd better ring you up.
You think you can help us?
Well, last night, my friend and I... She's Mrs. Fitzgerald. My friend and I were out for a walk when we noticed a taxi coming towards us.
Yes.
Well, we didn't take any notice of that, of course, but just after it passed us, we heard a noise.
What sort of noise, Mrs. White?
Oh, it was a pretty loud bump. Well, we turned around and saw that one of the doors of the taxi was swinging open. I think the noise was caused by the door hitting a lamppost.
Did the taxi stop?
No, it didn't. In fact, it seemed to go faster, and it disappeared very quickly.
Which way was it travelling, Mrs. White? North or south?
I'm not sure of that.
Towards the city or away from it?
Oh, away from the city.
You didn't notice the number of the taxi?
No, I'm afraid we didn't.
Can you tell us its colour?
It was a dark colour. Blue or black, I think.
Well, I'm very grateful to you for ringing, Mrs. White. I think we'd like to have a further talk with you and your friend.
Yes, all right. Then we can tell you about the woman.
I beg your pardon?
The woman. We met about 5 minutes later.
Yes?
She came out of the park, and she seemed very upset. And the first thing she said to us was, "My friend has been shot."
And so, although he didn't know it, the net was gradually closing about the unknown gunman. This is a true story from the files of the Victoria Police. Only names, place names, and dates have been altered. There was little doubt that the woman seen by Mrs. White and Mrs. Fitzgerald knew something of the deaths of the two men in the taxi. But the detectives couldn't recognize her from the description they were given, and they didn't know her present whereabouts. And then came an interesting message from a suburban police station. And the detectives hurried to investigate.
Constable Hudson tells us you may be able to give us some information, Mrs. Arnold.
Well, it's not so much me as my boy here, young Tom.
Yeah. Well, Tom, what can you tell us?
Well, sir, last night I was riding along the parade on my bike.
Yes?
Well, I wasn't going anywhere in particular, just mooching around.
Tell them what happened, Tom. Don't beat about the bush.
Yes, all right, Mum. Well, a woman stopped me, sir.
Why did she do that, Tom?
Well, she said she wanted me to give her a ride to South Melbourne.
Did she? And what did you do?
Well, I didn't know what to do at first, but she said it was urgent, so I told her to hop on.
And you took her to South Melbourne?
That's right, sir. Dinked her all the way. Gee, was I tired when I got there.
Yes, I'll bet you were. Tom, can you tell us where you dropped the woman?
Oh, yes, on the corner of two big streets.
Which streets?
Well, I don't know their names, but I can take you there and show you.
A very good idea, Tom. If you don't mind, Mrs. Arnold, we'll all go along to South Melbourne and see just where Tom left the woman. Well, now, Tom, you're quite sure that this is the place where you dropped your passenger?
Oh, yes, sir. I dropped her right here under this light.
And did she go into one of the houses?
No, she just said thank you and ran down that way.
Ran, did she?
Well, she seemed in a frightful hurry.
And you didn't see the house she went into?
No, sir.
Well, anyhow, Tom, you've done very well. We're grateful to you. And you too, Mrs. Arnold, for giving us so much of your time.
Oh, that's all right. I only hope we've been able to help.
I think you have. And now we'll get busy and search the district.
And so, once again, began yet another of the long series of questionings, which are such an ever-present feature of police work. Systematically, they canvassed every house in the area, but without result. The woman had seemingly vanished. But now, confident there was a woman somewhere connected with the case, they made certain inquiries, which led them to believe that the man found dead in the back of the taxi had been friendly with a woman whose description tallied with that of the woman they were seeking. So they had good reason to call at an address in Albert Park.
Yes?
We're police. And we believe that Miss Barbara Langley lives here.
Well, she does. But? She's not at home.
Do you know when she will be home?
No. Really can't say.
You don't know where we could find her?
No, I don't.
I think perhaps we'd better wait for a while. Do you mind if we come in?
No, not at all. Just step into the dining room. I can't imagine where Barbara could be. I thought she'd be home long before this.
We can wait.
There's nothing I can do for you, I suppose.
It's rather a serious matter. I think we'll just wait for Miss Langley.
Yes, very well. Perhaps you'd like the paper to read.
No, thank you. How about you, Bob?
No, thanks.
Well, would you mind if I... Oh, that'll be Barbara now. Must have left her key at home. Excuse me a minute.
Think she knows anything?
I think so.
Oh, hello.
She's very loyal to her friend. Anyway, I'd like to hear Miss Langley's story direct.
It wasn't Barbara after all. It was one of the boarders.
Oh. Well, it looks as if she's not coming back, but perhaps you can help us.
How?
We have reason to believe that Miss Langley was in a taxi cab that was involved in a shooting tragedy last night. Did she mention anything to you about it? Well?
Yes. Yes, she did.
Then we'll have to ask you a few questions.
No. No, you won't have to. I'll tell you all about it. I've nearly gone crazy today thinking about it. I must tell you. She came in about 4 o'clock this morning. She looked awful. I could see there was something wrong. She wouldn't tell me about it at first, but then she said...
I was out in a taxi with Les and Fred. I didn't know there was going to be any shooting. And when Les pulled out a gun and shot Fred, I was scared stiff. I didn't know what to do. But then the taxi had to slow down, so I opened the back door and jumped out. I twisted my ankle a bit, but then I thought I saw the taxi turning round and coming back for me, so I ran into the park. Then I spoke to two women, and later on a boy came along in the bike and I asked him to give me a ride. I didn't know what to do. I've been walking around for hours, scared. Scared stiff.
Gee, what are you going to do?
I don't know. I don't know what to do.
That's all she told you?
Yes.
There's just one thing we haven't cleared up. The name of the man who fired the shots. You simply referred to him as Les.
That's all I know about him.
Oh, come now.
Well, that's the truth. He's Barbara's friend. I only know him as Les.
All right. If you'll give us a complete description of him, we'll see if we can find Les.
And so the search was narrowed. And back at police headquarters, the detectives discussed the evidence they'd gathered.
Here's how I see it after checking the files. The man we're looking for is either Les Greenaway or Les Broadby. Both of them have been known to carry guns. Both fit the description pretty well.
Well, we'll look them both up. Send Jackson and Thomas to Greenaway's place, and we'll call it Broadby's house.
But Greenaway had an undeniable alibi. Broadby was away from home. Further inquiries suggested that Broadby might be at a well-known dance hall, and the detectives immediately made their way there.
Not going to be an easy place to find him, is it?
I'm not so sure. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, there's Broadby leaning against that wall just across the hall.
Yeah, that's him, all right. Come on, then.
Hello, Broadby.
What? Who do you think you're talking to?
You're Les Broadby, aren't you?
So what?
We're police, Les. We'd like a few words with you.
What about?
There's nothing we can discuss here. Let's go into the manager's office.
Okay. I don't know what I'm supposed to have done.
Les, are you sure you don't know what we want to talk to you about?
Of course I'm sure.
All right, then we'll have to start at the beginning. We understand.
It's the taxi.
The what?
It's the taxi. That's what you hear about, isn't it?
What can you tell us about a taxi?
I was in it. You know I was in it.
We know very little for sure, Les.
Well, I was in the taxi when Fred Jenkins was shot.
What about the driver?
I don't know anything about that. I just saw Fred shot.
You saw him shot?
Yes. Fred Jenkins was a mate of mine. You don't think I'd shoot me mate, do you?
Well, we're not quite sure what to think at the moment, Les. Perhaps you'd better come along to Russell Street and tell us the whole story.
All right, Les. Now, let's hear just what happened.
Well, it was like this. We're driving along in the taxi.
Where were you sitting?
I was in the back with Fred and Barbara. She was in the middle.
Yeah?
Well, we were driving along the parade when all of a sudden we see a bloke standing right in the center of the road and waving his arms about. Fred said to me,
"Well, get a look at that. What the heck's that madman think he's doing?"
"Better pull up, driver, and see what the score is."
"Okay." "Hey, what's biting you, mate?"
"I'm in trouble. Bad trouble. Gotta get to Frankston in a hurry."
"Well, we're not going to Frankston."
"Oh, yes, you are."
"Look out, he's got a gun."
"Yeah, that's right. Now, will you give me a lift?"
"I'd go jump in the lake. Let's get going, Les."
"You heard what I said."
"Ah. All right. Hop in."
"Okay. Now you'll go my way or..."
"No, we won't cut this."
"Let go, will you, or I'll
drop that gun."
"No, I won't, I'll..." "Now, Smarty, you asked for it." "Anyone else want to argue?" "No? All right, mate. Now you and the woman jump out, and I'll take over the cab from now on. Go on, get out, or you'll get the same as your pal."
"Come on, Barbara. Better do as he says."
"But we can't leave Fred like that."
"Get out, I said." "Now shut the door." "Righto, sport. Start driving."
"And the taxi went on and left us there. And that's all I know about it."
"And so you got out of the taxi long before it reached the place where we found it, huh?"
"Yeah."
"All right, Les. Do you mind if we have a look around at your place?"
"Oh. Why should I? You won't find anything. I've got nothing to hide." "Well, are you satisfied?"
"You still stick to your story that you left the taxi before it went into the country."
"It's no story, it's the truth. I was never out of the city."
"Well, let me put this to you. We found at your home a pair of grey flannel trousers."
"So what?"
"You were wearing grey flannel trousers in the taxi last night, weren't you?"
"Who says I was?"
Were you or weren't you?
Yeah. But what the heck's that got to do with it?
Just this. Have a look at these little things, Les.
Grass seeds.
Yes. Grass seeds. Have a look at these. They're grass seeds, too.
What are you getting at?
Les, the first lot of grass seeds came from the cuffs of your grey flannel trousers.
Well?
The second lot came from the grass alongside the road, where we found the abandoned taxi. They look exactly alike to me, Les.
I don't think so.
Then we'll have to send them to the analytical laboratory for examination by the botanist. He can prove it, you know. You were there, Les, weren't you?
Yeah. Yes, I was there. And I killed them. I killed them both.
Just 14 hours after the police were confronted with this most baffling crime, they were in a position to charge Les Broadby with the killing. They'd worked without ceasing, and by carefully piecing together the fragments of evidence that were brought to their notice, they were able to sheet home the crime to the man responsible. Fred Jenkins was killed because of a simple argument. The taxi driver died because he knew too much. When you read or hear of a crime of this nature, always remember that you might have been the victim, that the frightful unhappiness of those left behind might be the tragic lot of your family. Then make it a habit to cooperate with your police force whenever and wherever you can, for they're protecting your life and your property 24 hours a day. Only names, place names, and dates were altered in this true story. It was dramatized for radio from the files of the Victoria Police by Roland Strong, who now says goodbye until next week, when there'll be another true story in this series, D24, which is produced in the studios of Hector Crawford Productions by Dorothy Crawford.